Welcome to Faith and Family, a radio outreach of Family Life Center International. And now from Greenville, South Carolina, here's your host, Steve Wood.
Hello, this is Steve Wood, and welcome to Faith and Family. I'd like to thank you for joining us today as we continue our series entitled How to Prepare Youth for Life in a Homosexual Culture. Just by way of a quick review of where we are, last week we tried to identify the fundamental cause of the mushrooming homosexual culture. And this is so important because unless we carefully identify the root cause of what is going on in our culture, we will never have a lasting remedy. And here's what we looked at last week. And this may surprise you a bit, particularly if you didn't join us last time, because you're not hearing from a lot of folks, both Protestant and Catholic, who are very concerned over the move for legalization of so-called same-sex marriage and the spread of homosexuality. You're not hearing this fundamental cause. And we identified it as a turning from the first three of the Ten Commandments, particularly, just to sum that up, a turning from God himself. And we looked at a special section of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, often overlooked, often neglected, but it's section 2534. And if you own a catechism, it's worth highlighting. And it says this: fornication originates in the idolatry prohibited by the first three prescriptions of the law. Just to kind of expand that and paraphrase that, fornication, homosexuality, and all sexual immorality originates in the idolatry prohibited by the first three commandments of the law. And the Catechism references the Old Testament Book of Wisdom, chapter 14, which says the following in verse 12: for the idea of making idols was the beginning of fornication, and the invention of them was the corruption of life. It goes on a little later in that chapter to describe the consequences of idolatry for the culture. Afterward, it was not enough for them to err about the knowledge of God. See, what goes first is God himself. They erred about the knowledge of God, but then what? Confusion over what is good. Does that describe our culture? Pollution of souls? Sexual perversion, disorder in marriage, adultery, debauchery, for the worship of idols is the beginning and end of every evil. We took as our classic text in dealing with homosexuality in the modern world that passage from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, starting with verse 18 through the end of chapter 1. And St. Paul describes the root cause of this in the Roman Empire and in the pagan world. It says they became futile in their thinking. Their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images or idols resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles. Then it says in verse 24 of Romans 1, and this is so often missed, therefore, because of the idolatry, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity and to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. So in other words, it's the root of idolatry, the root of turning from God is the result of then the subsequent dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. So let's take it from here. If idolatry was the root of sexual immorality in the ancient pagan world, so what's causing the contemporary spread of homosexuality? Why is the U.S. Supreme Court thinking about legalizing same-sex marriage? We don't have idolatry, so how do you today explain the widespread acceptance of homosexuality? Well, this may surprise you a bit, But I assert that we do have idolatry in 21st century America. And it is at the very root of what's eating the foundations of the moral fabric of our beloved country. You go, really? You think Americans are sneaking off on Saturday night, running off in the woods somewhere and worshiping a stone statue? You think that's causing the spread of homosexuality and the push for same-sex marriage? No, not necessarily. But let me tell you, probably a good place to look if you're talking about idolatry. I've been actually thinking about idolatry because I've recognized where we're going as a culture. And I've also saw rather clearly in St. Paul's first chapter of his epistle to the Romans that idolatry is at the root of that. So I'm thinking, okay, it was in the ancient world. Is it in our world? The definitive book I found on idolatry was a book by Dr. G.K. Beale, who's a Protestant scholar, and the book is entitled, We Become What We Worship, A Biblical Theology of Idolatry. And what Dr. Beale demonstrates that idol worship isn't something that people just do, rather, it's something that fundamentally alters the people worshiping idols. In other words, it's not a detached act. It has consequences. Just like verse 24 of Romans 1 says, therefore, the sexual licentiousness and the homosexuality grows out of a more fundamental problem. Now, I was thinking, how am I going to explain idolatry in the modern world? And this is actually, believe it or not, the result of several months of thought. And I can explain to you idolatry in modern America with a single word. You ready? The single word is idolatry. And you can explain this to your children using a single word, but you're going to have to do something a little different with your word processor. What I did is I spelled out idolatry, but when it came to the I used a 48-point font, idolatry. And if you want a good way to visualize the root of the sexual revolution, the root of the push for same-sex marriage, you look at idolatry. And if you want idolatry in the modern world, it's the big, bloated I. Because idolatry is the substitution of anything created for the Creator. It can be a statue, it can be a reptile, or it could be man himself in the place of God. Everybody wonders what the Antichrist is going to do, and there's a lot of loony descriptions, quite frankly. But this is the heart of what the Antichrist will do. He will substitute the worship of man for the worship of God and enforce it worldwide. You know that number 666 that you read about in the book of Revelation? A lot of people overlook because Revelation says, when it says 666, it's the number of man. Man created on the sixth day, the glory of all God's creation, exalted by God himself. But what sin does to human beings, it bloats the ego in order that man wants to supplant the place of God in his heart. In fact, if you want to spell sin in a similar way, you're going to need a word processor or a big fat pen like a Sharpie, but spell sin with a small s, a small n, and a huge bloated I. What sin does to the human person is having this bloated ego, which is at the very heart of idolatry. Back in the Old Testament, in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 28, there's a description of the proud king of Tyre. And Tyre is a city about, 50 miles south of the modern city of Beirut, Lebanon. And the ancient city of Tyre was very prosperous because its location next to the sea. And listen to the boast of the king of Tyre, because St. Augustine thought that this boast in Ezekiel 28 was an allusion to the very fall of Lucifer himself. In other words, what caused the fall of Lucifer was the bloated eye. And I would agree with St. Augustine and even go further. This is the fall of everything evil, as the heart of it is man wanting to displace God in a human heart. But listen to Ezekiel 28. Because your heart is proud, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of the gods. Yet you are but a man and no god, though you consider yourself as wise as a god. By your wisdom and your understanding, you have gotten wealth for yourself. You have gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom and trade, you have increased wealth. But your heart has become proud because of your wealth. Now, I'm a red-blooded American, but I'll tell you, this could be describing what's going on in our country. We have been greatly blessed with material wealth, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not a socialist. I'm thankful for that. But it's very easy for the human heart to allow itself to, because of increase in material goods, to start saying like the king of Tyre, I'm sitting in the seat of the gods because we have all this wealth. We're the richest nation in the history of mankind. We exceeded Tyre. And so we need to be very careful that money and things don't become more important than God in our lives. And there's been many commentators that talk about materialism and the dangers of money, but I want to get right down to the very bare essence of idolatry. Remember how we're doing that? We're spelling idolatry with the huge overgrown I, idolatry. So besides money and materialism, is there anything else in our contemporary culture that might signify idolatry? Well, I've already mentioned the selfishness stemming from an abundance of wealth. How about the push for self-fulfillment in our culture? Or how about in our schools, the push for self-esteem? Or how about the books of self-love? Or about modern pop psychology? Dr. Paul Vitz, a very faithful Catholic psychologist, has written a book. And by the way, this book should be read by every young person before they put one foot inside a psychology classroom today. It's called Psychology as Religion, The Cult of Self-Worship. Okay, if you don't mind, I'll step on a couple of toes. Maybe it might be your favorite show. How about American Idol? Ever thought how the media is taking an average everyday American and making an idol out of them through the power of the media? I don't know if you ever thought about it, but the title of that very popular TV show screams at you what's going on in our culture. Just a word to my friends in Catholic media. Very often, if you're a host of a radio or a Catholic TV show, you're sometimes introduced as a Catholic media personality. Well, you know what? I certainly don't want to be introduced to Jesus Christ on my judgment day as a Catholic media personality. I want to be a humble sinner saved by grace, by the love of God, and I don't want to be a media personality because it can even seep into Catholic circles what's going on in our secular circles. I think we need to come up with better descriptions of ourselves, and I personally don't like to be introduced that way. What about sports idols? Just with the NFL draft just going on, but we've made idols out of our sports figures. We are taught self-assertion. You just need to really push for having your way in our culture. What about marketing? Do you know what the key phrases are for marketing today? It's all about you. In fact, the whole universe is about you. All of the stuff in our store is about you. It's basically a marketing to the self. Or, according to the burger joint, have it your way. That has become the American way. You go to a modern secular bookstore, and there's a whole section called self-help. And then you talk about the problems of young people, particularly young girls, self-image. And don't forget to subscribe to Self Magazine. And don't forget the motto of the sexual revolution of the 60s, self-gratification. In other words, if it feels good, do it. And I tell you, this kind of rubs me because in the past few years, as I mentioned, I've been studying idolatry, and now we have a new word in the Oxford Dictionary, selfies. Nonstop taking pictures of yourself. I mean, it used to be sunsets, your girlfriend, the family, but now everybody goes around just taking pictures of themselves. And I'm not saying all selfies are bad, but, you know, it seems to be we're getting a little excessive on this. And now I want to get real serious. I want to talk to my Protestant friends, and I want this broadcast deeply to be an ecumenical endeavor, but we have to get rid of idolatry in our own midst if we want to see it go in our culture. And if I would put what Protestantism is in a nutshell, I would say it's every man doing what is right in his own eyes. There was chaos in ancient Israel, the book of Judges says in chapter 17. Why? Because every man was doing what is right in his own eyes. And notice it doesn't say that every man was just trying to be evil. No, every man was trying to be good. But every man determined for himself or herself what was right. And what Protestantism introduced into Christianity was the individual person, through a searching of your own mind and heart, determining for yourself what the Bible actually says. And this has resulted in ultimate splintering and divisions within Christendom, and also paves the way for idolatry even in the midst of Christianity. And so I just share my heart with my Protestant friends who are listening that this is something that it's the very heart of Protestantism that has to be corrected. Now I want to speak to Catholics. I think they're called cafeteria Catholics. Like you just go down the cafeteria line and you just kind of pick and choose what Catholic doctrines or what truths about Catholic morality, particularly sexual morality, you wish to accept or reject. And if the Pope says something, well, you kind of accept what you like and reject what you don't like. That's cafeteria Catholicism, and that's traveling in the exact same boat as our Protestant friends are traveling in. And it's a dangerous boat because when every man does what is right in his own eyes, even though he seeks to do right, but he's determining right and wrong from his own self and no higher authority, that is idolatry, cafeteria Catholicism. Okay, if you don't mind, I'll keep stepping on toes. How about the Tea Party and the radical libertarians? Now, I'll just tell you right up front, I think there's a lot of great ideas in the Tea Party. You may disagree with me on that. But at the root of a lot of the radical libertarian thought is the belief that the self must be free and totally unhindered to do whatever it wishes. And that is idolatry, because the self has to come under some other greater authority than its own self. So if you're a big follower of the novel Atlas Shrugged, which is basically a novel not much more than rational self-interest. And that's not what is going to make the world a better place. And then finally, if I might really step on your toes, let me talk about Facebook for a moment. But before I do want to acknowledge Facebook is a great idea to share pictures of your kids and your grandkids and to kind of stay in touch with friends and this and that. So I'm not condemning all use of Facebook. But I do agree with a West Point professor who said, Facebook is institutionalized narcissism. You see, this is the religion of the modern world. Let me bring in some big guns to support this. St. John Paul II in his apostolic exhortation in 2003, he said, quote, this sort of modern thinking has led man to being considered as the absolute center of reality, a view which makes him occupy falsely the place of God. European culture, and if I might add to St. John Paul II, American culture, gives the impression of silent apostasy on the part of people who have all they need and who live as if God did not exist. Listen to the spiritual writer, Protestant spiritual writer, A.W. Tozer, and I want this to be an ecumenical effort to get at the root of same-sex marriage push and homosexuality in our culture. Here's what A.W. Tozer said, quote, sin has many manifestations, but its essence is one. A moral being created to worship before the throne of God sits on the throne of his own selfhood, and from that elevated position declares, I am. That is sin in its concentrated essence. For to set our will against the will of God is to dethrone God and make ourselves supreme. This is sin at its evil root. Sins may multiply like the sands by the seashore, but they are yet one. And now, the home run by Archbishop Paglia, who is the head of the Pontifical Council for the Family. He gave an interview in October 2014 before the Extraordinary Synod on the Family. And basically, he has his fingers on the pulse of the Catholic family throughout the world, and he says this, quote, in my opinion, I would say that in history, for the first time, the identity itself of marriage, family, and life, which is the great gift of God, is being torn apart. In other words, we're losing marriage, family, and life. Now, what is the cause of that? He goes on. Each of us is in sort of a delirium of omnipotence. Indeed, it is today homo homini deus. Man is God for man. Now, this is the fundamental knot. Why? Because from this tearing apart, we are going towards a society defamilied, that's his term, defamilied, and therefore weaker and less solid. The one who wins is not us, but I. And now he gets to the root of the principal cause, which is tearing the modern world apart, tearing marriage and family apart. Quote, the virus that provokes this contagion, this kind of Ebola, is an absolute, boundless individualism. An Italian sociologist speaks of egololatry, that is, worship of the ego. We have all become English because it is the only language in which the I is written in capital letters. And this capital letter is the virus, because it is put in the place of God. And above all, on this altar of the ego, individualism blends institutions to itself, starting with the first, the family. So let's try to bring these threads together. Idolatry, which is really self-deification, putting God out of his rightful place as number one in our minds and our hearts and our worship. Idolatry leads to an insatiable self-gratification in sexual immorality. The sexual immorality is the therefore. It stems from this root. So the first step in healing is a proper diagnosis, and a good physician will tell you that. So I'm urging you to think long and carefully about the various Christian explanations for what is propelling the push for same-sex marriage and homosexual activity. I've given you what I hope is a fresh perspective that goes to the very root of the matter. Scripture scholar James Dunn has said that the rejection of God inevitably results in the sexual appetites becoming one of the desires of the flesh, which dominate existence and relationships, and which, if not checked, can lead all too quickly to dehumanizing excesses. And then he cites Romans chapter 1. You see, it's losing God as first place in our hearts. And it's not just something that's kind of there. Through the long list of self-focused items that I went through in our culture, and I could take another whole broadcast and give you a whole other list of them, but that would be belaboring the point. Self has replaced God in our culture, and as a result, there's an insatiable lust for self-gratification and sexual immorality that will not and cannot go away until something changes. Next week, I'm going to be sharing with you some very practical ways how the church has been successful in ridding idolatry from the human heart, in fact, from the Roman Empire, the entire culture of the Roman Empire. There's hope for our world. Tune in next week, and thanks for listening to this episode 74 of Faith and Family. I'm your host, Steve Wood. Visit us at dads.org.
Faith and Family is a radio outreach of Family Life Center International. Visit us online at familylifecenter.net. To order a CD copy of today's broadcast, order online at www.familylifecenter.net.